And I want to preach this morning with God being our helper. Let's look in Acts chapter 9, begin to read in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound under Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would touch and help this message this morning. We certainly need a touch from you today. We can't do anything without you. And Lord, that's just not idle words on my lips. I understand that this morning, that without you we can do nothing. And I pray that you'd come by during this message. If there's one here today, Lord, that sees their need and that to follow you to be saved, one sees their need and that to ask you that question, what do you want me to do? And Lord, I pray that they would come with sincerity in their heart, seeking you and what you would have them to do and that for you this morning. Lord, again, I pray you'd save somebody, help the one that might be cold and indifferent on you. Lord, I do now pray that you'd touch and help in this service. We love you and we thank you for Jesus who loved us. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You be seated this morning. Most of us knows this passage of Scripture. This is where Saul of Tarsus met the Lord on the road to Damascus. If you look, he had got letters and that to go get the Christians. The Bible said in verse 2 that if he found any of this way. That's a good question that you need to ask yourself. Are you of that way? Amen. If the apostle, if that Saul of Tarsus was looking for you, would he find you? Would you stick out and that like a sore thumb and that to be found faithful and that for Christ? Would you be a Christian? Just because you're saved and because I'm saved does not make me a Christian. A Christian means to be and that Christ-like. You might be a believer, but how much are we like Christ? And some folk just satisfied to be saved. Some folks satisfied in that to go to heaven, but I want to be more than that, for the Lord. But notice what he said, if he found any of this way. And then the Lord, he begins to talk to the Saul of Tarsus. He said, Why persecutest thou me? And he said in verse 5, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Who was Paul or Saul? We'll get there. Who was Saul and that persecuting? Well, he was persecuting the church, was he not? He was persecuting that early church that Christ had died for and that he had rose for. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took it personal. The margin in my Bible, it wrote out Christ's identification and that with the saints. But he was more than just identified and that with the saints. Listen, the church this morning is the body of Christ. You need to understand that this morning. We are part of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as he talks about the jobs that are in the church, as he talks about the positions and what we are supposed to do. He talks about we all can't be in here and we all can't be in eye and we can't be in nose. Listen, and all those things. Listen, we all can't do the same thing. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. And he's talking about that through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he talks about whether one member suffer, we all suffer. And one rejoices, then we all rejoice. But he comes to verse 27 and he says, Now you're the body of Christ and members, in particular the church, is the body of Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, Christ has put us with him this morning. Ain't that wonderful to know? Colossians chapter 1, are we awake this morning? Help me out, church. Amen. Do this. Do something and help me out. Colossians 1 said, Who now rejoice in sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Listen, the Lord, he ordained the church, he loved and died for the church. Listen, I think the church ought to be important to us this morning. Amen. The body of Christ should be very... Is your body not important to you this morning? It's very important to me. I pamper it. I take care of it. I try to make it look the best that it can. I want to feed it. I want it to feel well. If it don't feel well, I'll take medicine to get it well. At least the same thing, and that deals with the body of Christ. If we love it, then we ought to want to do the best for it that we can this morning. Amen. And the body of Christ ought to be important to you. And so we find the Lord tells him, you're kicking against the pricks this morning, against those thorns that would drive, and that the ox and the sheep and all, or the ox that would drive them. He says, you're kicking back against them, Saul. You're not wanting to do what I want you to. And Saul gets saved. We understand that. This is where he meets the Lord. But I want you to look at what Saul said in verse 6. As he was trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I think that's a good question for every one of us this morning. To ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? I think that is a good place for you to start. Now, let me say that if you're lost this morning, I can answer that question. The Lord wants you to get saved. Amen. The Lord wants you to come and trust Him as His personal Savior. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all to get saved. Do you know that all means all? That's what my pastor used to say. You know that all means all. I mean, He wants everybody. He'll save anybody and everybody that'll come to Him. I mean, Luke 19:10, He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what He come for, amen, was to save sinners. And so the first thing when you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Listen, He would have you to get saved this morning. That's what He wants. He came and died for you so that you could get saved. Listen, He not only died for you, but rose again. The Bible said that He was delivered for our offenses, yet raised again for our justification. And that's so that we could be saved and justified in Him this morning. Ain't it good to be justified? Amen. I mean, just as if I'd never sinned, but just as if I'd never been a sinner. Amen. He sees me. I'm buried in Christ. I'm in heavenly places. According to Ephesians 2:6, I raised up with Him. Ain't that wonderful this morning? But he asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And can I tell you this morning, the Lord has got a will for your life. He does. He's got a will for your life. Brother Thompson was talking this morning and made the statement that he done what he wanted to do and was just asking the Lord to bless it. I'm determined there's a lot of Christians or a lot of believers like that today. They want to do what they want to do, but yet they want the Lord and that to bless it. And let me say this, there's nothing wrong in going your way as long as you're going God's way. As long as your way lines up with God's way, you have at it. I can go as fast and as hard as you can, and that's serving Christ. But make sure that it's to serve Him and not to serve you this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm still in my introduction, said, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I think He wants us to know what He wants to do in our life. He don't play hide and go seek with His will. I'm not sure that I'm going to tell you as much this morning that you don't already know in His will for your life. But God's got one. Now, number one this morning, Saul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that question? Have you ever asked, you said, now preacher, if I ask Him that question, He might tell me what He wants me to do. He might, first of all, let me park right here for just a second. I didn't think about this while I was studying. He might tell you what you don't need to do. Amen? Somebody might have some things in your life that you need to get out of it before He'll tell you what He wants you to do. Listen, if you're trying to live as close to the world and serve Christ at the same time, no man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other. He'll cling to one and despise the other. For you cannot serve God, mammon. Hey, you can't straddle the fence. You'll get shot at from both sides. You need to choose a side this morning. So he said, what would you have me to do? So the Lord may tell you, hey, you got some sin in your life that you're going to have to get fixed before you can do anything. You've got some habits that's got to get out of your life before you can do anything. I was talking to a friend of mine. I guess he's still my friend. We had worked together years ago over to a spa company, and this was back in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, and we'd worked together, and I pulled up in the parking lot in Lowe's the other day, and there he was, and we were talking, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and so we talked about the old times and working together, and then we got to talking about church and where he's going and his family's going. He said, you might not have noticed about me. He said, when I come back from Georgia, when I come back to Tennessee, he said, I come back with the idea of entering the ministry, of being a preacher. And that's a little weird. So I just let him talk for a little while. And I said, you know, the calling of the Lord is without repentance. I said, if he really called you, he called you. I said, why didn't you just go on into the ministry? Why didn't you become a preacher? And of course, he had a big dip of snuff in his mouth at the same time that I was talking to him. And he said, this is why I didn't go into the ministry. He said, because I wasn't willing to give it up. And he said, I just didn't think the Lord would want me to be a preacher and dip in snuff. Now, you got to understand something. He's Church of God. I said, if you'd have just went into the Baptist church, you'd have been okay. And then we liked, and I said, no, but I was just having fun there, you know. But you know what? When the Lord wants you to do something, He wants you to do something. And if it takes giving up some things to do it, that's what He expects out of you. And you know the thing about it is, when He does want us to do something and He expects us to give it up, He certainly will, even though it ain't His fault that we've got that sin in our life and that we've got that besetting sin. And by the way, you do have, and I have, a besetting sin that we have to fight on occasion, and sometimes more than on occasion. Listen, Joseph had to fight Potiphar's wife every day. Sin is going to bother you every day. Romans, is it not Romans chapter 7? For when I do good, evil is always present with me. Listen, when we're going to do right, don't think that your adversary is not there. Listen, he is there. And when you give in to him, then you've lost the battle. But have we ever asked that question? And then the Lord answered us and said, well, before you can do, you need to not do. But then, have you ever asked the question? You know, seven times the psalmist said, teach me. In Psalms chapter 25, he said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. You know, we just want to be taught by God. And sometimes we just want to be taught what we want and leave the rest alone. Lord, don't put me here, don't put me there. And we kind of, I want God to leave us where we want to be, and we want to serve Him inside our box. And I know that I preached on getting outside the box before, but listen, we want to serve Him in our little square cube and make Him fit everything in there. It don't work that way all the time. Now, I'm going to say something that I'll come to later, but listen, He don't care. He don't call everybody to preach. He don't call every woman to be a preacher's wife. He don't send everybody to the mission field. But what I'm asking you this morning is have you ever asked that question? Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? What can I use my life for in serving you? Does that enter your mind through the week? Now, if God's answered that question for you, and you're where you belong, and you're doing what you need to do, then you get it in high gear and get to doing it and stay doing it and be faithful in doing it and do it till God says stop doing it. Right? I mean, you just do it until you receive different orders. You just do what God's called you to do, where He's put you. You serve where God has got you at. I listen, you say, well, God's not called me to preach. He don't want me on the mission field. He's not made a great singer out of me. He's not made a Sunday school teacher out of me. I don't sing in the choir. I don't do this. Yeah, but God wants you to serve. There's always places to serve the Lord. You know that it takes men to go to work, to make money, to supply for their family. It takes men to, and if you look in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman over there, she worked, she strived, she labored. And so it takes it to make it work. But it takes you and that working and serving the Lord here so that men like Brother Thompson can go to the Philippines with his wife and children to win others over there. Somebody's got to keep on doing what they know to do just so that the gospel can keep on going out. But have we ever asked? You know, you got to get real serious with God to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I heard a story one time of a man. He was saved and he liked to pray. And he had this great big rock on his place. And he would go sit on that rock. And he would pray and he would talk to the Lord. And he would say, Lord, what would you... I'm trying to think how he exactly worded it. He'd say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. When he'd get done praying, that would be one of the last things he'd pray is, what would you have me to do? And then he'd say, amen. He would never say it and listen and wait for the Lord to speak. I'm afraid a lot of times we might be in the same shape. Lord, what would you have me to do? And then we just go on doing what we want to do. We say amen to the prayer. We're talking to the Lord, but we say amen and that to the prayer. If you've never asked the Lord that, He will answer you if you'll ask Him. It'll make Him happy. It'll make you happy. And everybody else will be happy too around you if you'll just get in God's will. But have you ever asked that question? Well, then number two, when the answer comes, would you be willing to do it? Listen to me now. You say, well, I'm willing to ask that question. You know, the Lord, He asked that question sometimes, wasn't He? In Isaiah over there, that Isaiah, that Isaiah was there. He got right with God. He seen the Lord high and lifted up. He seen God for who He was. He seen Him holy. He seen Him pure. And he realized that he was a sinner. He said, woe is me. I'm an unclean man dwelling among unclean people. He got right with God and God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then Isaiah begins to wave and raise his hand and he says, here am I, send me. God didn't tell him where he was going. God didn't say, I'm going to put you down here, over here. I want you to do this job or that job. God said, whom shall I send and who shall go for me? That's all he said. And Isaiah said, here am I. When God cries out, whom shall I send, would we be a willing vessel today? Would we be willing to perform the Lord's will? John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ sought the Lord's will. He sought the Father's will. Whose will should we be seeking? As I said, He don't make every man a preacher. He don't make every woman a preacher's wife. He don't make everybody a missionary. But I'm going to be honest with you. That may be what He wants out of you. He said, well, preacher, I don't want to pick my wife up, my children up, and move them halfway around the world or just move them across the state and go where God wants. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. If you'll get serious in serving God wherever He wants you to be, that'll be the happiest place you'll ever be. You wouldn't be happy doing nothing else. You know why? I'm determined that a lot of Christians, a lot of believers are unhappy because they're really not in God's will. They're just hanging around. They're just hanging around. That's all they're doing. Now, if you're right where God wants you, then you say amen and keep on doing it. But if you ain't there this morning, I'm asking you, would you be willing to get there? And then would you be willing to do what God wants you to do? I mean, I'm being very vague this morning about what He would have you to do. I don't know what God wants. I barely know what God wants out of me sometimes.
I say God don't play hide and go seek with His will, but boy, it gets awful dark sometimes, don't it? But I do know a few things. He does want me to preach. He does want me to pastor this church. He does want me to live for Him. He does want me to be faithful to Him. He does not want me to live in this world. He does want me to be separated out of this world. There's a few things I do know. When the answer comes, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you know the answer came to Saul of Tarsus down here. He said, Lord, what would you have me, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So God gave him one instruction, didn't he? He said, go into the city and wait. Do you know that if you'll just get willing, the Lord may say, just wait. Just do what you're doing, and when it gets time, I'll let you know. Let me put it to you another way. This used to bother me a little bit, Jeremiah. It really did. I announced my call to preach, and I really believe God called me to preach at 15 years old. But you know, it wasn't until my early 20s that I began to receive instruction. And that really bothered me for a while. Now, a lot of that, if not all of it, was my fault. I can't blame God. You can't blame God, and I can't blame God if we ain't gonna pick our book up, if we ain't gonna learn to pray. You know, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had a desire to pray. God didn't come to them and say, let me teach you to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. There must be a draw and there must be a desire, and that on our part. You know, he said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. It is conditional. You must make the first move, you see. The prodigal son's father never left home. That prodigal son had to come back home to be near, and that to the father. So the Lord, he helped me with that. He said, well, one thing, you had to grow. You just didn't get saved, you didn't get called to preach, and that and then know everything. Now let me put it to you another way. When one joins the service, when one becomes a GI, government issue, you belong to the service, you belong to Uncle Sam. They've got the call, they've made the decision, and that to go into the service, but they have yet to get the training. They trained you before they sent you to Vietnam, didn't they, Bob? When they're running through boot camp. It's fast. They need boys over there. Need men to go fight. But nonetheless, there was some training involved. Is the Marine Corps, is it not 13 weeks? Does the Marine Corps not, do they not still do 13 weeks? I can't remember. I know they've got one place in Paris Island. Is there not another one out in California somewhere out there? And it seems like to me that the Marines still do a 13-week boot camp. That's a long time to be berated and beat on and all. But you know what they're trying to do? And then this is a very crude example. But they're trying to break the will of those young men to get them to where they'll learn to take orders. To where they will trust who has ever given the orders, they'll do it. You know what the Lord has to do for some of us sometimes? He's got to break our will so that we'll learn to do His will. We've got to give up. I'm asking you, if we ask the question then, would we be willing? What would the answer be? You see. My will gets in the way sometimes. And it don't get done like it should. So the Lord helped me with that. To realize that there had to be training that had to go on. And you know, did the Lord not do that with the Apostle Paul? Even at that. If you read on over here, one of the first things he ever did, he got saved, he got baptized. Ananias calls him Brother Saul in verse 17. We're talking about getting saved, becoming a brother in Christ. And after the scales fall off his eyes, he ate. He began to get strength after being over there for 3 days. And the Bible said in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. God had a plan for him, but yet God had not revealed that plan to Saul of Tarsus. If you read on, you will find out in Paul's life that God took him on the backside of the desert over there in Arabia and began to train him. In the book of Galatians over there, he gives us an account of that. He began to train him and get him ready. You know, sometimes to do God's will, He's got to train you. And you've got to invest time in that. And it is so exciting when God, the God of heaven, takes notice of you and says, well, this one right here is the one that I want to do my will right here. This is her. This is him. Listen, they want to do something for me. They've asked me that question. What can I do for you? And they're willing to learn and be available to be used of me. That's all God wants, ain't it? It's not only dependability, but He wants availability. How many of us are available today? You know, some things God calls you to do, He wants you to do it for a lifetime. Other things He wants you to do is simply for today. Maybe He wants you to go talk to your neighbor about Him. That family member that's lost. He does want you to do that. Now, listen, I don't believe it's really never wrong to witness, but there are times when God will impress you and the Lord Jesus will impress you to talk to somebody. You need to talk to them. That's the time to deal with them. I've seen it on occasion when we try to make something happen. And God can still get in the middle of that thing too if we're witnessing and just trying to make things happen. But you know, there are times God gets folks' hearts ready. And I know that I think I've made this statement before, but I remember talking to James out here. He was up there parked on the upper side of the parking lot in the truck, and I went out there between Sunday school and preaching and went and invited him to come in. And as I turned around and began to walk away, I probably hadn't made 3 steps. The Lord just spoke to my heart and He said, you didn't say nothing about me. So I just wheeled around where I was and I walked right back over and I began to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that will make the difference in his life if he'll get saved. He's the one that will make a difference in your life if you'll just follow Him. Over and over and over again, 7 times, the psalmist said, teach me. You know, you don't have to be old to ask the Lord that question. Look at me, young people. You need to ask the Lord that question now. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Let me get my will out of the way and just do what you'd have me to do. I'm doing what I love to do. I do. I love pastoring a church. Now, I've got a dear preacher friend of mine who is an evangelist, and they travel full time for years. And he's told me before, he said, preacher, there is no way that I can do what you do. And I'm thinking to myself, and I told him, I said, there is no way I can do what you're doing. Travel all over this country and that preaching and singing and going from church to church, Sunday in and Sunday out. I mean that's not what God called me to do. That's not what God put in my heart to do. Has God put anything in your heart to do? Or are you just living? Just living. Would we be willing to do when the answer comes? We ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? But when the answer comes, would we be willing to perform it? But then would we be willing to persevere through it? Would we be willing to persevere? Be willing to be faithful to do it no matter what. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. So he knew he had a course. He said, I want to finish my course and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me say that when God saved Saul and made him the Apostle Paul, I have no doubt that God called him to preach, but Paul had no way of knowing how great of an apostle God was going to make him. He had no way of knowing that. He had no way of knowing what God was going to use him for. You have no way of knowing what God is going to use you for, but just be willing to be used. And then when he begins to use you, persevere through it. What do you mean persevere? We look at the call of the Lord and we say, well, if God wants me to do it, then it'll be the best thing we ever do. And it will be the best thing you ever do, but it will not always be the easiest thing that you ever do. Preacher talked about that this morning, did he not? Offer two things. Be a blessing. Might not be easy. When Nehemiah built the wall over there, it was not always the easiest thing to do, wasn't it? Take your Bible and go to the book of Nehemiah. Y'all know I've preached a message on this before, but go to the book of Nehemiah. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for here. Look in Nehemiah chapter 4. They're building the wall. When Babylon had come and destroyed, when the Chaldean army had come in and destroyed, you remember what Jeremiah, we studied the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night. The Chaldeans come in, carry off Judah, carry off Jerusalem, kill some, take some in captivity. Some die by the sword, some die by famine, some die by the plague, and the poorest of all, they leave there and back to tend to the land. And so after God makes a way and that for Israel to come back after the 70 years spent down in the land of Babylon, they begin to come back. Ezra rebuilds the temple. Nehemiah comes in to rebuild the wall. He did not take on an easy task. But God put something on Nehemiah's heart to do. It's not always easy what the Lord wants you to do. But I'm asking you, not only would you perform it, but would you persevere through it? Look right here, it's coming. And they know the enemy has threatened to come. And in verse 17, they which build it on the wall, they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. So they done what? You remember the title of that message? They had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. So they done what? They builded and they battled. They builded and they battled. Did you know that when you get in God's will, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How can I serve you? And the answer comes, and you get into this thing, I'm going to tell you, the fun part is building, but the hard part is battling. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always easy. It gets tough sometimes, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. It gets tough sometimes. But Paul said, if you go back and you read the book of Acts chapter 20, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. All he was concerned with was finishing. Peter said, 1 Peter 1:13, he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Sometimes you just got to get tough. You say, I'm going to be tough. I'm going to get tough. I am tough. And I'm with the help of the Lord, I'm going to finish this thing. I'm going to say it through. So when the answer comes, would we be willing to perform it and persevere through it? But number three, if we're going to ask Him and the answer comes and we do it, then we must place our assurance in Him. We cannot do it. We can't do it. And we have to understand that. I cannot preach. Brother Thompson cannot go to the mission field on his own. You cannot serve God. You can't go witness without the Lord helping you. We must understand, and I told Brother Caldwell the other day, I said, now listen, I said, if you take that church I said, then I want you to come and talk to me because I got some things I want to tell you. And I grinned and I said, look, I said, I said, you know all the good things about preaching. I said, I'm going to tell you the bad things. We have to understand that it's not us doing it. And one thing I want Brother Caldwell to understand, one thing, and I want every preacher to understand this, and I want you to get a hold of this. Whatever the Lord has in mind and in design, and I'm not a Calvinist, but you know, even in the book of Jeremiah, he had a plan for Jeremiah's life. He had a plan for the Saul of Tarsus' life. I would hate to think to get to heaven, and God rolls back the video and he says, now here's what I had in mind for your life, and here's what you've done. You wanted to do your thing, and here's where it ended up at. We have to trust that God knew what he was doing. So I was telling Brother Caldwell, I said, one of the problems that I have, I about forgot where I was headed with this story. I said, one of the problems that I have, and I said, don't do what I've done, because I said, you'll get down the rabbit hole and you won't be able to get back out of it. As I begin to think, Lord, what did you see in me to call me to preach? Or what did you see in me to use me to do this? And I'll begin to get down the rabbit hole and try to figure that stuff out. And man, it'll make you doubt some things along the way. It'll make you question some things along the way. If you ain't careful, if you get down that rabbit hole asking God, what did you, you know what he saw in you? Just that you were probably wanting to be available and that you were dependable. You know, look with me. Is it 1 Timothy? Go to 1 Timothy. Go with me. I know what time it is. Stay with me. I'm about done. Some of y'all don't believe that, do you? 1 Timothy. It may be 1 Timothy. Let me see if... Yeah, this is for this. I believe this is where. Yeah, here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Look in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Now looky there. Who done it? Well, the Lord done it. He enabled him. He made him able to serve. He made him able to do good. But then look what he said. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He didn't wait to see if Paul was going to be faithful to put him into ministry. He counted him faithful. He knew Paul was going to be faithful. And listen, it's not that Paul couldn't have messed up. It's not that Paul could not have quit along the way, but he counted him faithful. Paul said, look, the Lord looked at me and he counted me faithful to do his work and to do his job. How about us? Would the Lord count us faithful to do the job? We got to put our assurance in Him. You find the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. And the Lord calls Gideon and that to deliver Israel. They're kept in that by the enemy. They're in captivity. The enemy has basically, I mean, they're in their homeland, but the enemy has oppressed them and got them, and they can't do. As a matter of fact, was he not threshing wheat down by the wine press? He was hiding out, wasn't he? I remember my pastor always used to say, how was he threshing wheat by the wine press? Was he throwing it up in the iron, trying to separate it, you know? Have to understand all that stuff. How they winded all that, and the wind had to blow, and they had a threshing floor. And anyway, let me move on. So he's hiding out, and God calls Gideon and tells him he's going to deliver the children of Israel. And he begins to make excuse. Says, I'm just the least of my father's house. I can't do this. You may be making an excuse for why you can't do it this morning. They ain't an excuse big enough to tell God that he can't use you if you'll just get available. And say, Lord, I'm going to depend on you to do this. So Gideon, the Lord tells him, he says, go down there and destroy your father's altar down there, the grove. He worships Baal. He said, go down there and destroy it. So Gideon waits till it's nighttime. He's got fear in his heart. And so he goes down there and he destroys it at the nighttime. And he does what God wants him to do. And the men of the city said, we're going to go kill Gideon. And Gideon's father said, if Baal's a god, let Baal plead for himself and let him kill Gideon. And so God proved himself there. Now, listen, we put our assurance in him. He will prove himself to us. He will put his stamp of approval on things. So he tells Gideon, now here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to get an army. Y'all know the story. I want you to get an army and I want you to go down and tell you, was it the Midianites that was down there? I mean, as far as the eye could see, they look like grasshoppers. And that spread out all over the plain. They're out through the valley. And by the time Gideon starts with 32,000 men, and by the time he gets done, he's down to 300. And he's going to take on all the Midianites out there as far as he can see with 300 men. But God was on his side. And so Gideon, boy, I've been where Gideon was. He takes the fleece and says, Lord, let the fleece be wet if I ain't getting these backwards and the ground be dry. And he gets up the next morning, he wrings the water out of it. And he says, Lord, don't be angry with me, but let's do it one more time. But let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. They were opposite. Ever how I said it the first time, it's opposite. So he gets up the next morning, and it's just the opposite. The fleece was dry and the ground was wet. And out of all that, Gideon was still struggling. Because the Lord comes to him in the next chapter and he says, Gideon, if you're still having trouble, he said, take you and your servant, Purah. Wasn't it P-U-R-A? I believe it was Purah. Purah. And go down to the camp. And so they get down there and they're hiding out and they're listening. And one Midianite begins to talk to another and he says, I had a dream last night about this big old pancake come rolling in here and it just knocked over all these tents. And he said, what do you reckon it means? And he said, it's no more than the sword of Gideon that's going to come in here and destroy us. And the Bible says that Gideon worshiped the Lord right there. He got sold on what God wanted him to do. And he was going to depend on the Lord to do it. Because he had to depend on God, man. Who in the right mind would take 300 men with a sword and a pitcher and a light and a trumpet and go out there and going to take on all them Midianites? He will prove himself. He gave Gideon peace to go do what he needed to do. He'll give you peace to do it. And then he'll help you to perform it. Did he not help Gideon to perform it? They just beat the far out of them, didn't they? I mean, chased them down and killed them. Him and 300 men. Saul of Tarsus looked up to heaven and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, God wants something out of your life. He just don't want something. He wants the right something out of your life. What are you doing to serve God today? Let's bow our heads this morning. How are you serving God? Jacob, if you would sing, get some music there. Listen. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing what Brother Thompson talked about? You're doing what you want to do and then ask God to bless it. Boy, I find myself there still today. I want to do something and I'll just ask God to bless it. It's what I want to do and it's what I'm going to do for the day. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. But are you where God wants you to be? Listen to me now. Some of you this morning may have to come and get right with God before you could ever look up to heaven and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Your heart ain't right with God. You know it ain't right with God. He knows it ain't right. But would you be willing to come gather up around this altar and be serious with God and say, Lord, what do you want out of my life? What do you want out of me? How can I serve you? Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. Would you be willing to move and come and say that? Some of you are scared to death right now because you're afraid God will want you to do something. You're scared to death that God might call you to the mission field. You're scared to death God might make a preacher out of you. I don't know what God wants to do with you. But I know that He does. If you're where God wants you, you keep on going. But what did God want out of you? I'll be honest with you, church. Even as your pastor and a preacher, I still get nervous to ask that question. Lord, what do you want out of me? What do you want out of me? If we just be honest with God, say, Lord, I just want to be available. I want to be where that you can use me, where I can shine as a light for you. Do what you'd have me do. They sum up here praying. How about you? Do you need to come pray? Saul of Tarsus looked up to heaven and said, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Some of you just come and got saved, and that's as far as it's went. And you never said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Young people, I want you to listen to me right now. While we're being very still and very quiet. You may be saved, but now is a good time for you to start praying. Lord, what would you have me to do with my life to serve you? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? You can start praying now. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be the preacher's age to start trying to figure this stuff out. I have decided to follow Jesus, that old song. Have you?